On your Wednesday episode of Locked On Raptors, the time without Pascal Siakam in the lineup is mercifully behind us, and so now it's time to put a bow on the 10 games the Raptors played and survived without him, and we will do so with some superlatives. We're going to hand out some fun little creative awards for what the Raptors did while Pascal Siakam was out, hopefully for the last time this season. We'll dig into all of that with Jamarr Hines coming up in just one sec. Thanks so much for hanging.
Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot kind of miss.
You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Canada, the NBA title is yours.
We're going to the overtime of the Hail Mary 3 by Mo Pete.
Get that garbage out of here.
What's going on? Welcome to episode number 1292 of Locked On Raptors for Wednesday, November the 30th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of Post Touches, my Substack newsletter. Also, I've been covering the Raptors for 9 seasons. Lots of back catalog over at RaptorsHQ.com and other platforms if you want to go check that out. You can find it all probably somewhere on my Twitter, at WoodleySean. You can go follow me there. And you can follow, subscribe to, rate, and review the podcast for free on your favorite podcast app. So please go do that. We are also on YouTube. You can subscribe there for free as well. Set the little notifications so you never miss an episode when it premieres. And thank you in advance for doing that to support the show. All right, on today's show, we are going to put a bow on the 10 games the Toronto Raptors played without their superstar Pascal Siakam, and we're going to try to hand out some awards for the Raptors who did in fact play during those games. We will do so with our pal Jamarr Hines from Raptors Republic. We've got the awards like MVP and Biggest Depth Chart Riser and Best Game all to get to, but first, Jamarr, what's up, man?
I'm doing great. My camera's back because last time it was blurry. I have a mic, you know. Woo. my cam setup is like upgraded from like a D+ to a C. And then when I get a stand for this thing, it'll be like a C+. But you know, I'm ready to go.
Be kind to my friend Jamarr. It's at the very minimum a B-, dude. Come on. let's dive on in, shall we, to our awards for what the Raptors did without Pascal Siakam. Before we actually do that, though, I just kind of want to get your thoughts, Jamarr, on like how the Raptors weathered the time without Pascal. Were you impressed? Were you displeased? Overall, the Raptors go 5-5. They scrape by, they tread water, as they really had to, with the Eastern Conference, of course, being a competitive slog. Every win is going to count, every loss is going to matter, and they did a good enough job of not losing too much ground, as they're, I think, a game back in the loss column now after the Cavs game of the third seed in the Eastern Conference, which is great to see. In that time, however, they had a -2.6 net rating, which ranked 22nd in the NBA per NBA.com. They had the second worst true shooting percentage of any team in the NBA, and of course they had to really funnel a lot of stuff through OG Anunoby and Fred VanVleet when he was available, Scottie Barnes when he was available. It was a very rocky and tumultuous time for the team. So, all that said, how do you think they weathered it? Let's give it a grade, shall we? While we're handing out grades for stuff, where do you, would you sort of slot the Raptors in for how they performed without Siakam?
Honestly, I would give them a B+ because, Okay, they go 5-5, and then, you know, some of the like written numbers without him obviously aren't great. Mm-hmm. But you have to remember that it wasn't just Siakam out for a lot of these games. Fred missed a handful. Scotty was like hobbled and in and out. And then, yeah, there were, you know, other, like Gary missed a couple games, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for them to go 500 and kind of like weather the storm and remain in one of those, even though it's too early to talk about this, but remain in one of those playoff spots. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had to grind out a couple games, and some kind of games were ugly. Like, even, you know, look at the way they started against Dallas on Saturday. They were down 15 real quick. It was like, oh my gosh, it's like I miss the real Raptors. This is not the real Raptors. And mm-hmm. then they end up winning that game. But no, I mean, they found a way to keep 500. And now, you know, as the team starts to get a bit healthier, and Fred said it after yesterday, you know, this feels like the time where, you know, they should be able to string together some wins and, you know, maybe create some distance in the standings, because, mm-hmm. you know, everybody's kind of bunched together. And besides Boston and Milwaukee, I mean, there's really no distance between anybody. And yeah. that's the thing. A lot of teams are struggling right now. You know, Brooklyn, Philly's starting to piece a little bit together. Atlanta's hit or miss. So
I think Atlanta stinks, for the record. I think Atlanta is like a bupkis team. They stink. No good. I think for me, I would say, yeah, B plus, even A minus for just scraping those wins out. You know, had they gone 3-7, we're probably talking about a bit more of a sort of uphill climb in the Eastern Conference. They never fall below 500, despite some pretty grim lineup combinations they were throwing out there. I think Nick Nurse deserves a lot of credit for just kind of milking the most he could out of the guys he had available. You know, just to kind of give some perspective on it, during the 10 games Siakam missed, only 3 Raptors played in all 10 games. It was OG, Thad Young, and Christian Koloko, who was very up and down, I would say, in his performance. So really no continuity to speak of, no sort of reliability in terms of who was available. Obviously, you're missing your best shot creator in Pascal Siakam, so everything was difficult, but they still managed to, you know, hang around top 10 in both offense and defense, not fall too far down there. They're up to 7th in defense after the Cavs game, which speaks to how insane they were on defense in that game. But yeah, I think B plus, A minus is the place to go. Let's hand out our first award, Jamar. Sure. It's probably the most obvious on the board. The team MVP without Pascal Siakam. This one's OG, correct? Or do you have a surprise answer?
No surprise there. OG on offense, OG on defense, OG on everything. I don't know how else it can be anybody but OG. So... you know, I don't even have to elaborate that much on it, but you know, it was fun to, in the last game without Pascal, it was fun to see all the credit that Luka gave him.
Yeah.
You know, and even helping him up, because, you know, and Luka can be kind of annoying during games.
He's a rascal. Yeah.
You've seen games in the past where I forget who he threw elbows at when he was mad. It might've been OG. I can't remember.
There's a grand and storied history of Slovenian guys throwing elbows and cheap shots at OG. So yeah,
but no, it was fun to see Luka compliment him. But yeah, it's definitely OG.
Yeah, 10 games for OG, 38.4 minutes, 22 points a game, 6.2 boards, 2.6 assists, 1.8 steals, 1 block. Didn't shoot amazingly, 46% from the field, 25% from deep. Obviously, very much tied to the fact that his looks were incredibly difficult and oftentimes self-created in a way that they're not. You know, you see Pascal come back in the mix and all of a sudden, he's just hitting wide open trailer threes with nobody around him. It's just a breath of fresh air. He made it work though. And I think we might have learned some things about OG during this stretch. I think we learned he's the second best player on the Raptors. Is that crazy to say? Is that blasphemous towards Fred VanVleet? Like, he's amazing, and the defense he provides is just so far above, I think, everybody else on the team. Even though the team is loaded with good defenders, I think OG is just that good. He's a walking paint touch. You know, he's kind of added a little bit to his drive game. He seems a little bit more refined. He's falling over less. Is he now, would you say, the second best player on the Raptors, having seen these last 10 games? Maybe that's what you thought beforehand, but what do you think?
I mean, I feel like we've had this conversation. I think it's a good conversation to have. I mean, that's a good thing. If you don't know who your second best player is from game to game, that's a good thing. Because you just made me remember the championship year where Pascal was really rising. And then people were like, is Kyle the second best player? Is Pascal the second best player? So it's kind of similar in that sense where, there's games where Fred's going to have one of his Fred games, and it's that's not the case. And then there's games where, like, we've had this OG stretch where I would say consistently right now OG probably is their second best player this season. Obviously last year that wasn't the case, but yeah, I'd embrace that.
Why not lean into the hot takes, baby? I guess best and most important maybe are like, maybe they're the same thing. Maybe they're different. I don't really know, but I do think OG is certainly the second most important player on the team.
One thing,
yeah.
Sorry, the one thing that I gotta remember about OG, because the last few years it was always he'd always miss about, you know, 20 games because some freak thing happened. Like I don't know if you could call it injury prone, because some of the things were, you know, even going back to the appendectomy that made him miss the entire championship run. But you know, there was always something to make him miss a handful of games, and right now he's played in every single game. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think Coloco's the only other guy on the team to appear in every single game.
That is correct. Kind of an insane stat,
Yeah, so like that just tells you how many guys have been out. So, you know, knock on wood. I don't really have any wood around me to knock.
I got lots. All right, got a wood desk, got wood floors.
But, you know, just, you know, keep on, just got to keep hoping that OG, you know, maintains his health. And, you know, this is the season where, you know, he can get to that 78, 79 games played type of thing, where, you know, the only games they don't sit him is because of some rest related type of thing, like later on in the season or whatnot. So, for, you know, sure. Just hoping for that.
Also, knocking on my chest because my last name has a wood in it. So that
I was like, what are you doing?
Why are you doing Tarzan on the screen? Yeah,
that's
John?
What it looks like. No, no.
Just knocking on wood, Lee. God, shut up, Sean. one last note here. Fred VanVleet shouldn't be undersold for what he did while Siakam is out. Obviously, he missed three games, so you can't, you know, the availability part probably rules him out of being the team MVP, but also 24 points, 6 assists. He shot 37% on 11 threes a game. Wasn't great on twos, but I think you kind of expect that. That's never really his thing anyway, at the best of times, not, you know, especially with Pascal Siakam out. So, yeah, Fred was awesome too, and he very much has a claim to second best player on the Raptors, and Scottie Barnes on his best nights has a claim to that as well. I do think the consistency and just like the sheer dominance of OG's defense kind of has me penciling him into the number two spot in the team power rankings, if you will. But again, one of them good problems. Oh no, how do we arrange the order of our very good players after our superstar who is an All-NBA guy and maybe an MVP candidate? One of them good problems. We're going to continue on, Jamar. Hand out a few more superlatives for the Raptors' time away. We're going to look at the depth chart. We're going to look at the biggest risers and fallers in the depth chart rotation coming up in just 1 second. Before we do that, however, I need to tell you about Turo, which is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. That is wonderful. You don't got to worry about the stupid rental companies. They're going to charge you an arm and a leg. The fees are out of this world. They're going to charge you like 9 times extra for gas. That might be wrong, but it doesn't feel like it's off that by all that much. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the USA, UK, Canada, and very soon coming to Australia as well. For our listeners down under, book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip, get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday, find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. I think this is an awesome service because when I go on a trip, I typically like to go to like things where there is nature. I like to look at mountains and the ocean quite a bit when I'm on vacation, and to have a car to do that in, it's pretty essential, and Turo is a great alternative to those rental companies that are just going to overcharge and make it a not very pleasant experience. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. That's Turo.com. Today's show is also brought to you by our pals over at Built Bar. It's holiday time, which means they've got some holiday new flavors hanging out. They got the cookie dough topper, the coconut brownie bar, the coconut brownie topper as well as the white chocolate peppermint granola. It's Built's take on granola bars. It's more filling. It's holiday themed. It's amazing. You get candy cane brownie puffs as well. So many wonderful holiday flavors available for you to go and peruse at Built.com. They are the snack that is feeling indulgent, but it's not actually indulgent. They have lots of protein, just 130 calories as well, and they are shockingly low in sugar, especially when you compare them to your typical candy bars or the typical junk you might eat at this time of year. Go and check them out. They always make it taste great while also being good for you. Built, you gotta try this. Get 15% off your order right now using the code LOCKEDON15 at Built.com. That's the code LOCKEDON15, all one word, at Built.com for 15% off. All right, we continue on here with our Pascal Siakam-less superlatives, I guess is what we'll call it. I don't know. We're handing out some awards for what the Raptors did with Pascal Siakam on the sidelines now that he has mercifully returned to the fold. Now we're going to hand out the award for the biggest depth chart riser over the course of the 10 games without Pascal Siakam. Lots of opportunity abound, not just with the Siakam injury, but with everybody else seemingly being hurt for some stretch of time as well. Jamar, who do you have as your biggest depth chart riser, the guy who maybe has changed in your eyes as to whether or not they can actually be a meaningful contributor to this team, a bigger contributor than you thought beforehand? Who you got?
Well, this guy didn't really change my mind in terms of what I thought he could do, because he's been doing it for years, and it's just I was surprised that he wasn't playing at the beginning of the season. But it has to be Thad Young, because you know, he wasn't playing a lot of those games where Pascal was here early in the season, and then even he was kind of confused about his role, and then since they put him in the starting lineup as like their center, he's had a really great stretch of games. And It's funny. His wife, I want to say, she, because obviously, you know, every so often on Twitter, you'll see the post like Thaddy Daddy or something like that. And apparently she heard that at
more,
the game.
It's often from me, I think. But
she heard that. She had a tweet where she heard that at the game, and she said that she had to basically explain to one of her kids, because one of her kids was confused. It was like, why are they calling him dad? I find it absolutely hilarious. Where basically she had to explain to one of them that dad is not their dad. They just really like him.
Yeah, it's like a weird horny online thing. Yeah, that's all it is.
But yeah, you know, from the off, he's had games where he's changed the game on the offensive boards. He's changed the game with playmaking. He's just doing one of those glue guys. Even yesterday, he's just doing a lot of little things, you know, to help the Raptors win games, stay in games, things like that. So, you know, from going to, you know, off the bench, I mean, well, basically parked on the bench to start, it's got to be Thad for me.
Yeah, I think honorable mention here goes to Juancho Hernan Gomez, 100%. Who for me was like the 15th man, and now I'm just like, yeah, you got to play Juancho. He tries real hard. He's very good positionally. The way he cuts and scores off of Thad passes is very pleasing to my eyes. He's in the mix for sure now in a way I didn't think he would be, but Thad goes from DNPCD to starting center. I think he has to win this award. My question to you, Jamar, is, we saw Nurse with the weird sort of, you know, Barnes and Trent off the bench thing last night. I totally buy his explanation that it was about sort of not throwing a bunch of guys who are kind of out of rhythm all on the floor at the same time. Right. I think it was smart, especially if Pascal was going to be on a minutes restriction, sort of balancing out where you're getting the minutes in from guys. Totally made sense to me. But
I've never seen a 30-minute minutes restriction, though.
Yeah, it's a Nick Nurse minutes restriction, yeah. It's inflation. Inflation's crazy, Jamar. Aren't you familiar? With that, I guess my question now is, do you think there's a chance he just stays the starting center? They insert Scottie Barnes into the lineup eventually for Juancho. They bring Gary Trent Jr. off the bench with Chris Boucher and Juancho and, you know, Otto Porter when he's back, Coloco on down the line. Is there a world here where Thad Young is just the starting center for this team and they roll with that? Because Nick Nurse seems pretty pleased with what they found there.
Never underestimate what Nick Nurse is thinking in terms of just throwing
bizarro you lineups. Yeah.
I mean, it could be something. It won't be for Scotty, that's for sure. No. Who did not sound thrilled about coming off the bench.
But, I heard that. I feel like Scotty just never sounds thrilled in his post-game pressers anyway.
That's also true. I don't know. That's also true. But he kept, the fact that he kept saying, I guess.
Yeah.
Wasn't exactly practice, but, you know, I guess. Because he said that at least about four or five times. But I'm not going to read too much into that. But obviously he wants to start.
Yeah. As he should. He's Scotty Barnes.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gary is interesting because, you know, I've always thought of Gary as a guy that would play better with creators around him. is so that he doesn't have to force shots. And yesterday he had a really good game on both ends, I think, especially with boards. He had a he's funny.
Seven he comes boards. Off the bench.
Yeah, and he had a He's normally your 18-2-1 guy.
Oh yeah. He's the rookie year Andrew Wiggins, the 20-0-0
But yeah, I could totally see them going big and, you know, Gary coming off the bench. And he might be one of those interchangeable guys. And I've mentioned this before. I just hope that it's not the Norman Powell thing. Yesterday was an exception, but I just hope it's not the Norman Powell thing where, you know, if he starts coming off the bench, he starts having a horrible stretch of games because that's what Norm used to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, yesterday that didn't that wasn't the case. And yeah, for him, you know, with, you know, contract year type of thing, you know, it's probably not what he wants either because, you know, he's going to want to put up numbers, but the it's interesting for sure. And, you know, it depends on it's matchup depending where they're going to change the lineups. But, you know, the Wancho thing's not a thing, but the I think the Thad thing starting might be. We'll see.
I agree. I think, you know, Thad is at his best when he's amplifying really good players. And I think the best way to get the best out of Thad would be to play him with all the best players. And yeah, you might be a little bit light on shooting. You're going to need Scotty to kind of even out from deep, I would say. And, you know, Pascal's going to have to hit his corner threes when they come to him. OG and Fred might be good enough to kind of make that work anyway. And the defense will be so good, you would think, with the turnovers that the transition game will be kind of devastating. But, you know, Trent obviously helps with that too. He forces turnovers when he's at his best. He hits those threes on the wing that they're so good at finding him for on the run. There are obviously arguments to have Trent in there. And honestly, you know, I think we'll probably see a bit of a mix and match thing more than anything else where, you know, depending on the matchup, Nurse will sort of change it up. But I do think, too, the way the Raptors can stagger their guys, you can have Siakam or Barnes run with the bench and still have Gary there. I would probably run Siakam with Gary Trent Jr. As much as you could, just, you know, if you're going to run those bench lineups, just because that's a partnership that really, really works. And if you can kind of mix that in, I mean, all of a sudden you're looking at a team that's like 9-10 deep and there's not really any holes. And there's some pretty intriguing lineup combos you can do with the insertion of Wancho shooting and whatnot. Let's quickly go to biggest depth chart faller in this time. Is there someone who you think maybe the sort of shine wore off over the course of the 10 games here?
It's hard because there's so many injuries. And then, you know, during this stretch, Precious got injured. And he was probably the biggest disappointment so far just based on what he did last at the end of last season and, you know, what we were expecting this season as a potential dark horse to, like, be most improved. But then he got hurt. And, and then, you know, he's not going to be back anytime soon because even yesterday there was an update that he's going to be gone for about 2 to 3 more weeks. Ooh, this is hard. I feel... I was thinking Banton for a second, but Banton's had a couple good games without, like, he had his career high in Indiana.
He
without Pascal, and then he too got hurt. It's how much games did Precious play in this stretch? Like,
Precious only played three. Yeah,
yeah. So it's kind of hard to see him. This is a tough one for me because I'm.
Do you want me to say my answer?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I'm torn between two guys. Okay. I feel really badly, though. I think it's Malachi Flynn.
I didn't even really consider him a faller because he didn't really have a spot to begin with.
He rose during the time of the 10 games and then fell right back down below, I think, where he was before. Like, yeah. I think you could have looked at him as, like, the 11th man when everything first happened with Siakam. And then he comes in. He has a couple really nice games. He has some real highs. You know, the Hawks game, he was really impressive. He had a few other really nice games mixed in there, 3 or 4 in a row. And then his last couple outings, just not much to show for. And I think his margin for error is so slim.
Right.
With the other guys that he's competing for minutes with, that I kind of think Malachi Flynn not showing out consistently through this run, even with a 46% rate from three, that's awesome. And, you know, I feel very comfortable if Malachi Flynn's your 13th man, but I do feel like maybe the opportunity slipped away a little bit from Malachi Flynn here. And that's a shame, but it's just kind of the way it is when you're a 13th man and you come in and you have a couple bad games. There's not going to be a lot of rope there. And you can argue with whether Nick Nurse should be giving him more rope or not. But I think you can't cater your entire team to Malachi Flynn, I guess. And it's,
you know,
a shame,
what? It's funny you bring that up, because that was actually the only game I've been able to go to this season was one of the dog game. It was the Brooklyn game.
Yeah.
But that was the game he got his start. Mm-hmm. And you bring up the shooting from three. He began that game with two threes right away, and then Brooklyn, called a quick timeout. And then he was pretty much ghost mode after that.
Totally. Yeah.
Like I wanted to see him initiate more in that game. It was kind of left up to Thad to try and initiate everything. So that's kind of the point where, he had that opportunity to, kind of like have an eye opener type of game to say, hey, I deserve, more minutes, a bigger role type of thing. And then he kind of just disappeared. So, yeah. To your point. Yeah. I think that game probably illustrates your point the best.
Yeah, it's a shame. And look, there'll be other opportunities, I'm sure. The injuries are not going to go away, you would assume. They're not going to just be healthy the rest of the season all the way through. But I do think...
It doesn't seem to work that way.
No, like the roller coaster that Flynn rode there. I think he's down at the bottom of the roller coaster once again.
Okay,
so
that's fair.
We'll see. We're going to come back on the other side, hand out a couple more awards before we round out the show. Before we do that, though, got to tell you about our friends over at betonline.net. They are your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. We've got it all at betonline.net. The Raptors are healthy again. They're going on a run of games here. Maybe you start putting some scratch on them covering for the first time like all season long, because they've just barely been able to scrape by in these games. BetOnline will show you the lines. They'll give you the info. They'll give you the injury analysis and make it so you are the informed wagerer before you go and put some hard-earned money down on the games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, we continue on here, rounding out the show with our pal Jamar Hines, handing out some Toronto Raptors superlatives for the time Pascal Siakam spent on the bench. Let's go now to the best game overall. This, like, the criteria here, whatever you want it to be. You can kind of take it however you like here. 10 games out for Pascal, they go 5-5. What was the best game the Raptors played during this stretch, Jamar? What you got?
So I was wrestling between two games that kind of had very similar storylines. I was wrestling between the first game he was out, which was the Chicago game.
Oh, they looked so good.
Yeah. They started out slow, and then they really picked it up in the second quarter, and then they basically took over Chicago from there. I still remember that Nick Nurse challenge a minute in when DeRozan drew a foul. He was like, this is not going to be the precedent, this game where he draws fouls. Challenges 90 seconds into the game, and then they win that challenge. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to make that my runner-up, even though that's probably my criteria makes no sense. That's probably, like, in terms of, like, stretch of game, that's probably the best they've looked.
Sure.
But I'm actually going to go with the Dallas game, because
right on
that they just played, because of the fact that they looked like they were done like 3 minutes into that game. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were able to come back and figure that out and win that game. And also, it's kind of a nice bookend where Pascal got injured against Dallas, and they were, at the time, they looked like they were well on their way to a loss before he got injured. And Luka was absolutely torching him in every way, even though the Raptors threw everything they possibly could at Luka. And even though he only had 15 shots, he still had 35 points. Mm-hmm. And then this time around, they kind of limited his shot attempts even more. And Luka had to be forced to trust his teammates. Just look at that last possession.
Oh, yeah.
And I just feel like they made enough adjustments to turn that into a win. So it's like, results wise, I'll give it to that game. So that's kind of my criteria, my weird criteria, but I'm going to go with the Dallas game.
That's a good one. I like it. I might annoy some people with my pick. I am picking the 2-point overtime loss to the Atlanta Hawks on November the 19th. Okay. Mostly because this game was just awesome. It was really fun, and it sucked the way it ended, but with a couple weeks of distance, I'm able to appreciate it a little bit more. Right. You had Scotty Barnes until he rolled his ankle and, you know, kind of lost the plot a little bit later on, missing the game winner. You know, some miscues, obviously, in the final play with AJ Griffin putting that in, with Barnes just kind of leaving him alone. Right. Not ideal, of course, but you had a Barnes kind of return to form for the first 35 minutes of the game. That was really good to see. I think that was a really nice OG game as well. Oh, it's always fun to watch OG play defense against the Hawks. It's always fun to watch the Raptors play against the Hawks. I feel like this was a game where they really exposed a lot of what is wrong with the Atlanta Hawks. And they overcame not having a traditional rim protector outside of Christian Koloko, who was kind of thrust into action. And he was really good. He had four blocks. He managed to actually guard that Trae Young pick and roll mostly capably. There were some spots, obviously, where he got burned, because that's going to happen. And Trae Young ultimately won the game just with his creativity and his scoring at the rim. But I still think this was a really impressive game for the Raptors, and with, you know, I think Malachi Flynn, maybe his best game of the timeout, 17, 5, and 3 with two steals on 7 of 12. For me, really fun game, really entertaining, and so I'll say that's the best game, because it was almost like the most inspiring win ever without all the guys they were without. With that, we'll move on to the final award we're going to hand out, which is the game in which Pascal Siakam was missed the most. And guess what? I'm picking the Hawks game.
Yeah, that's the game I was thinking about for that.
Yeah.
Exact same game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carrie, you can dig into why you had that game picked for the one Siakam was missed the most.
Simply because they could have used him down the stretch. If they had Siakam, that game had no business going the way the Hawks were playing. That game had no business going to any overtime. And it still almost didn't anyway, if, you know, if Scotty was able to complete that basket in regulation. But just the way the game was coming down to the wire, Pascal would have made all the right decisions down the stretch where that game was not, that was going to be a Raptors win for sure. And I just, the image from that game that sticks with me the most is Trae Young after the buzzer beater waving to, I don't know who he's waving to. He's like, he was like basically just the bench nobody
in general, because, yeah,
but there's like no bench, nobody was even there. It was like,
Jeff Doughton. You really got Jeff Doughton's ass there, Trey. Good job.
It's like you're back in the bubble and you're like remember that Russell Westbrook moment where he was just going nuts at somebody, and it's like probably just one person in the stands. And
yeah,
he was going
just screaming at one of the Zoom faces on the background.
And then, and then people put Fred's daughter in the mix to make it more hilarious, where she's waving and he's going nuts. That's kind of what it felt like with Trey. It's like, who are you even talking to? Like, there's nobody there. So yeah, it's definitely the Hawks game, and I feel like the Raptors have kind of started a little rivalry with the Hawks, definitely on Twitter, where it's just like, this is just a team that, you know, don't like to lose to. So
yeah
that one kind of sticks with me. We're kind of down bad after that one. It's like, oh my gosh, this is not a game we wanted to lose. But
yeah,
definitely that game.
I agree for sure. I think Pascal was very much missed in that game. And like, had you had his sort of help rim protection, I feel like you would have handled the Trae Young stuff at the rim a little bit more effectively. And honestly, he, like every single player on the Hawks, is traditionally a barbecue chicken to Pascal Siakam. And boy, did they need just like some easy buckets in that game.
Right.
If you have Siakam in that game, they might win it by 20. I don't think I'm being super hyperbolic with that. He's really good and loves to cook the Hawks, and they you know, this was a nice game. They got a nice Wancho game, kind of the first Wancho pop of the season as well. I really enjoyed that game, even though having Siakam would have been totally wonderful and may have made it a pretty easy win. Still fun, entertaining, memorable game, probably the most memorable game of the regular season so far, I'd say, even though it was in a losing effort. We'll round it there, Jamar. Thanks so much for hanging, man. This was great. Do you have anything you'd like to promote for the good people out there?
Yeah, sure. My Twitter handle, Jamar, J-A-M-A-R-B-H. I have a recap of the Cavs game that, you know, just posted a couple hours ago. So everything you need to know about that game. It's a really fun game with Pascal being back. So, you know, it kind of puts a bow on this whole conversation that we've just had. But yeah, he looked amazing. And, you know, I'm a very visual person, so I have a lot of, you know, video clips from the game that, you know, so you can kind of picture what I'm talking about if you missed the game. But yeah, just check out my work on Raptors Republic.
Always great stuff, man. I really appreciate you being here. And thank you to the listener for tuning in and being a pal. Just again, a programming note. Tomorrow, there will be no episode breaking down the Pelicans game. I'm traveling for work and I won't be able to record, unfortunately. I will have an episode out on Friday. We're going to play a round of One Gotta Go with our pal Vivek Jacob, which should be a lot of fun. And, you know, I'll explain that when we get to it on Friday. But you know the concept of One Gotta Go. If you've been online ever in the last 10 years, I'm sure you've been there. So we got that coming up on Friday. We'll probably do some sort of weekend episode after the two games against the Magic and the Nets over the weekend as well, if scheduling lines up appropriately. But either way, no episode Thursday, back on Friday. Enjoy the Pelicans game. Thank you for tuning in. Please support the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing. All that good stuff. It's always appreciated. And go make your second listen of the day. Locked On Sports Today as Pete Bukowski takes you through the biggest stories from the world of sports the night before. And it's a really great, insightful look. You get all the local experts on the Locked On Podcast Network chipping in their thoughts as well. So go check it out, Locked On Sports Today, wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. We'll be back again on Friday. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy the Pels game. Bye-bye.